We kick off hour number three. Back to the Big Orange phone lines. Big Orange Philly phone lines.
Big Orange Phillies.
I'm right to the point. We went small.
I could go for a Big Orange
Philly. We went small, got a bucket.
Mm.
We went small, got a stop.
Mm-hmm.
Then turned it over. Then got another stop.
Yep.
Because we could shut them down small. Sure. Then went down and got a bucket.
John Cox hooked up.
37-32. And now all hell's about to break loose. They had to have a bucket. So what'd they do? Jonnell Davis got him going downhill to the basket. We foul him. I think he's actually only going to make one of these free throws. I think it's the one he missed. Anyway, back to the Big Orange phone lines. We're going to Myrtle Beach for Zach. Zach, you're on three now. What's up, buddy?
Morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
Terrible, Zach. Thanks for asking.
Yep. It's terrible down here, too, guys. Terrible in South Carolina. So what was up with the rumors floating around last night? Julian and Josiah shouldn't even have been on their court with their injuries and all that. Y'all get any whiffs of that last night?
No.
No, I heard Barnes talk about how they're, even Vescovy's been banged up. But, I mean, like.
Yeah. And, again, I'm not trying to make excuses. That's just what people were saying around me in the bar last night, that they talked to somebody's cousin, her boyfriend, who talked to Josiah's family, who said, if it were any other situation, Josiah and Julian. Anyways, I'm not even trying to talk about injuries. But that picture that Tennessee posted last night on their Twitter account, guys, of all the seniors, I hate to do this to those guys, but that's the reason we lost that game last night, guys. It just is. I mean, 2-for-9, Kamwa. 3-for-11, Vesby. He played his ass off, though, I got to say. Josiah, 3-for-11. Key, 2-for-9. You're just not going to win. You're just not going to win when your veterans don't show up.
Yeah, they went 14 of 50, the seniors.
28%
shooting.
Oh!
Get this. With the small lineup, we actually scored again. And Jonnell did miss one of those free throws. It was the second one, not the first one. So now we're up six with 12:49 to go. And it's all about to fall apart.
Hey, Nate, a minute ago, what were you saying about the Plavsic situation? Were you saying that you were upset that they went away from Plavsic? Or what were you saying about that between the first half and the second half?
In the first half, Tennessee won the first half because they went small for a stretch. And during that stretch where they went small, they rattled off a 7-0 run. And for the half, they were up with the small lineup. I think 11-3 was the final tally. We actually lost the game, or we actually lost the first half when we had two bigs in the game by two.
Okay, so when they started doubling down, or when they started and on Plavsic, I always call it shrinking in or dropping off, whatever you want to call it. Whenever that happened, what would have been the move? Because we can't shoot from the outside, right? So what would have been the move to counter that at that point?
So I like if we're in four round one with four guards in the game, there's more space inside. So when you throw it into him, it's farther for them to try and come dig it out, because they weren't committing a full double team ever. Right?
Right.
They start shrinking like you're talking about, trying to dig it out. Well, if you've got four around with more space, then when he kicks it, now there's room to drive the ball on the other side of the floor. And the problem is, apparently Rick Barnes only considers having two guys around the basket if it's two bigs, and only, like, he said there wasn't as much room to drive when we went four guards. And what he meant by that is four around the perimeter, there's not as much room to drive as when there's three around the perimeter, which is true. But if there's three around the perimeter, that means there's two guys inside, and once they break that perimeter defense, there's no way for them to score at the rim.
Right.
So either spread those big guys out on the baseline further into, like, almost out to the short corners and put a guard down there. Like, there's no rule in basketball that says you can't play a guard at the four. Hell, FAU did it all season. It's like he only thinks about the game, at least in this way, in two ways, and there's no creativeness there. So, I mean, that's the problem. We either had too many guys around the basket where our guards, if they got there, couldn't finish, or when we spread it out and went four around one, our guards were too slow of foot to penetrate the FAU switching defense, because they have four guards that are quicker than all of our guys. They had the quickness advantage at every position on the floor.
Yep.
They did. And, you know, it's just so crazy to me when you're looking, your eyes are looking out there at your Julian Phillipses, at your, you know, obviously we know Triple J is no driving threat at this point and probably has never been in his career, so I don't even know why I keep hoping for that. But, you know, they're not being slashers, but Julian was known for being a slasher. So whenever I started hearing this noise about Julian and Triple J last night that, you know, they wouldn't even have been playing if it was in other circumstances, it's like, I'm not trying to make excuses for anybody. I'm just saying something was good. There's a disconnect somewhere, but in this team, to the coach, and then what the coach is telling us, because there, it just wasn't making sense. Like, you have your slashers out there, but they're not slashing at all, you know? So, again, very frustrating. We can't shoot. That's the bottom line. We have to get shooters. We just do. We just do. I got to take a shower and be ready for work, damn it. Good night. Good morning.
Thanks for the call, Zach. And you know, we went
– good night.
You know, Russell made the point on voluntary action that, you know, FAU started – went on their run while we were small, which is true. Although it got down to three, we pushed it back out to six by going small. And then Meshack just got a wide-open look from 7 feet and left it short, like wide open. Like he spun in the lane and the guy almost fell down. I mean, there's no one around him, 7 feet, and he just bricked it off the front – or just left it short off the front of the rim. I mean, like, this offense that they're running now is the best offense. It's just
gotta
makes
hit shots.
Sense. Yeah. Now, FAU scored the first bucket to start the run at 12:05. And it was off an offensive rebound. And it was John L. Davis beating Santiago Vescovi on the board. However, hang on. Let me watch that one more time. It was we had a help defender down there that just didn't help Vescovi block him out. Oh, it's Phillips. Phillips' guy's in the corner, and he doesn't do anything to try and wall off. Yeah, he played. Golly, Julian, that is some of the worst basketball. He doesn't try and wall off John L. Davis, who's coming hard for the rebound. And then once he gets the ball, he doesn't even try and challenge him. He just lets him score. So now it's a 4-point game. Tennessee's still ahead. We're at the under 12. We're ready for the under 12 timeout. And we're just kind of standing around because we don't know what offense to run. Adu's on the floor with four guards, Key, Meshack, Phillips, and Vescovi. And it's like we don't know what to do. Like, our offense has no identity. We just kind of stand around for a while. Meshack ends up getting a ball screen, kicks over to Key. He shoots a one dribble mid-range jumper. Then we foul him and go to the under 12 timeout. So there's 11 and a half minutes to go. You're still up four.
We end up losing, Nate. Spoiler alert.
Crap. Seriously?
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, we're done. The tournament's over for the Vols.
Preston, you're watching all that.
Sorry. I mean, it's the coach in me. You know, you watch film after the game, you just figure out what happened.
Even the last game of the season?
Definitely. Especially
you're not
going to
be doing this like for years like the Purdue game, right?
No, probably not. Probably not. Probably just watch the Purdue game again.
I mean, that was an all-timer.
It really was.
We lost a sub-state game in overtime once, Brett. I watched it the next year to just make sure that I couldn't have done anything more, you know? One guy said, why didn't you just keep running that play that was working over and over in the first half? And I went back, and I was like, why didn't I? And I went back and watched, and I was like, oh, yeah, we did. We blew the layup right there. That we'd probably go on to win if we make that layup.
Mm.
You know, we got a perfect back screen, diagonal, bam, coming down the basket, blew the layup. Also got a good shot at the buzzer to win it, missed it. And it happens. But, yeah, no, they live with you forever. Like, you never forget, ever.
I wish we could have pulled one of those guys out of the crowd last night. Grant sitting back there. Mm. Allen Houston.
Hell, I'd rather pull a hobo off the street if he's going to go out there and
he wouldn't have played.
Try. Could have been much worse.
You still got another stop the next possession. I mean, you're still up four. There's only 11 minutes left. And we're going to be down a gazillion at what? What'd you say, at four something? Crazy.
Yeah.
We were down 5 with 3:30 left in the game, I think, because Josiah just hit a three. And they called a timeout after he hit it, I think.
I'm pretty sure he got killed on the glass, though, on your next defensive possession.
Well, we came down, then we had another possession because Vescovy missed a three, and it came out long, and they got a layup on the green to go up seven. Jonell Davis got the rebound.
Fun times.
We did try to run a play. We just didn't run it very well, though, because we don't, you know, do those during the season and really hone in and work on them.
Positive.
Yeah.
Optimism Friday.
Yeah, Vescovy brought the ball down.
Slowly.
Well, we're ahead right now.
I don't know what part of the game.
Yeah, sorry, 11-13. We run a play, but then Tyreek Key decides he's going to back down a guy that's bigger than him and shoot a weird kind of runner-slash-jump hook that he airballed by about 2 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes out of bounds to Tennessee, so we still have the ball. 11-04, you're up four. There's 11-04 in the game, you're up four with the ball underneath the basket. Is this where we're going to score? Like, we did roast them on one inbounds. No, it's not. It's a different one. We'll come back. More Hour 3
next.
Yeah,
I'm excited.
Had somebody on Twitter say, I don't know what you want him to do. He had two media timeouts during that run, plus reviews and stuff.
Call one.
There was, at 10.5 minutes, which by my math is a minute and a half max after the under 12 timeout, and still 2.5 minutes before the under 8 timeout, that's when they go down their possession. They hit the three with a little more than 10 minutes to go.
Mm.
You're right in between the two media timeouts. Right in between. And they cut the lead to one with a three after multiple possessions both ways where neither team can score. That's when you call a timeout. You talk about offense. You talk about how you got it. We got to get the ball to the basket. We got to get fouled or get a great look. We've got to score here. And we just don't. We just go back down the other end of the floor and... I mean, Barnes did stand up during that stretch.
Really?
With his arms crossed.
That's good.
Yeah.
Good.
No, he did throw a curveball at that point. He didn't call timeout. Guess what he did?
He went zone.
Went zone. They hit a three, and he goes zone. And they hit another three. Same kid, I think. Was it the same kid, Brett? Same kid.
And then he had a driving layup after that.
Force, yeah.
Turn your mic on.
It's on. I think he's just not.
He's just not speaking into it.
That's Brett's giving up.
That's how microphones work.
Brett's pulling a second half Tennessee. Just over it.
I'm
just
over
talking.
It
yeah, he's Chris. You have to talk into the microphone.
No, I won't
he's a lot
it.
Louder than me.
I'm just yelling in the
microphone. Let's let him speak.
That's very revolutionary, though, because I swear, like, if a team hits a three. Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
I swear,
woo!
Teams hit 70% of threes they take on the first possession a team goes zone on defense.
Do you remember who were we playing that went zone and Zakai just was like, Zakai had sucked all game shooting. Like, he was awful. Team goes zone, he's just like, zip, next possession, zip. And they're like, oh, maybe we should get out of this zone.
I don't know.
Gah!
They hit a three.
We go zone.
They hit a three.
They hit
cut
another
it to
one.
Instead of calling timeout, we switch defenses to zone, and they hit a three with the same kid. They didn't even move the ball around. They're just like, oh, you're in zone. Sweet. I can just shoot over this thing. And then the problem gets compounded with
what was the curveball, Chris? He went zone.
He called it.
Oh, God. But what in fairness to myself, because I'm not that smart. What other curveball do we have? Like what's he gonna do, John? Like that's the only thing he does. Like, oh, we're gonna throw a little zone at him. That'll trick him. Wearing an Edgar suit. He wanted some sugar water.
God. They're on 8-0 run right now. Oh, we could have called timeout right here too.
Nope.
So after that three, when they first gain the lead, they're still 9+. You could have taken a timeout there.
Yeah, could have.
Then Adu comes down and commits an offensive foul. You could have called timeout during that dead ball.
Could have.
Because they're on 8-0 run. We'll pick this up on after taking Jay's call. I made him wait last segment. It's my fault. What's up, Jay?
Good on you.
You're on three and out, Jay. What's up, buddy?
Guys, I wanted to talk to Miami football if you're interested.
Let's go.
No, I'm just kidding.
I thought it was a Mark Richt.
No, it's
there.
You know, I'm not going to talk about the game. I guess it's what's said is need to be said. But, I mean, there's a thing with Barnes where he – think about the five stars we've gotten. Jaden Springer, Keon Johnson, Josiah Jordan-James, Julian Phillips, Brick, Brick, Brick. None of them can shoot. I think Bescovy's a good shooter. I don't think he's a great shooter.
Oh, he's gotten worse here.
If Chris Lofton's a great shooter, Vescovy's a decent shooter.
Well, if Vescovy had started where he came in and gotten a little better each year, he'd be a great shooter now. But, in fact, he's actually stayed the same, gotten worse, and that's the problem.
Well, but here's the thing, though, Nate. Everybody keys in on him.
Yep.
Rick has said this, and I do agree, nobody gets guarded harder than him. Well, you want to know why, Rick? Because they know that nobody else can shoot the basketball on your team. That's why he gets guarded harder than anybody in the country. It's kind of your fault that it's that way.
Did I say that yesterday or today? I'm like, the book is out. And I don't mean that like as a knock on Vescovy, but like if you face guard him and make all of his shots super tough, we don't have another shooter. Like, he's the guy.
No. And they can also double-team our big man because they're not afraid of kicking it back out and having one of our guys shoot.
Yeah, you want to kick to Josiah? Go ahead. That's fine. We're going to double the paint.
Josiah Jordan-James is not going to beat you shooting the basketball. He may hit a few, but he's not going to beat you shooting the basketball. You know, from three-point or, you know.
He might two games a year, Josiah's going to hit enough threes to where it's like, yep, that guy beat us. Two games.
Kind of like Olivier did with Texas and FAU.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Or Duke, yeah.
Duke.
I don't know if Rick – I mean, I don't think Jemani Mashak's about to become a great shooter. He's a great defender. I don't know if Rick just places so much emphasis on defense, or he's got to be the right cultural fit, that he's not looking at the guys he needs to look at. I mean, you know, there's this whole thing about he didn't want Mac McClung. Mac McClung would have been one of the best players that's come through this program. You know, under Rick, at least. I mean, he'd been one of the better players that came through this program under Rick. Is it a recruiting philosophy? There's something that needs to change, or we're just going to keep being a team that plays with a lot of effort that can't shoot worth a lick.
No, I mean, I think it's coaching, it's identity. Like with Josh Heupel, when he coaches the football team, do you know what his identity is?
Yep.
I mean, it's very clear, right? Like we don't have an identity on the offensive end of the floor. I mean, it's like we're a team with no offensive coordinator. And it's like no one cares to point that out or no one's willing to just say that. Like this offense is atrocious, and it has been ever since Grant and Admiral walked off the court.
Exactly. I don't know, but I there needs to be some, you know, wholesale changes on personnel and philosophy. He's got to change. And guys, I mean, Rick is what, 70 years old? He's not going to change. I mean, do you really expect him to change and make the changes he needs?
We said that in the first hour. Like, he is what he is at this point. Like, he's not going to reinvent himself now.
So it's Mark Richt.
Yep.
It's Mark Richt, which is a weird place to be in, because if you complain, then you can have people come at you and say, well, look at all the games we win, or look at our program. But you really know that you have a cap that's been put on you, and you're never going to go above that cap.
Feels so, that way.
Yeah.
Feels like we are handcuffed to the Sweet 16 and nothing better. And look, that I could be wrong. Next year could be a run to an Elite Eight, maybe a Final Four. I just.
Oh, you were being serious.
I'm just saying we don't know, but it's not. it won't be like coaching that gets us there. It'll be just like we hit the lottery on a couple of great players, and all of a sudden we're really, really good. I mean, look at Brandon Miller and Bama.
If you paired Kennedy Chandler up with Grant Admiral.
We're going home in the Sweet 16.
You could make an all Rick Barnes Tennessee era team, throw them on the court next year, and I still don't expect anything different.
Crazy.
What kind of excuses do you guys think Russell and Bear are going to make this afternoon?
Well, Russ said you can't get rid of him unless he misses the tournament three or four straight years in a row. I mean,
I never know how to gauge Russell.
I just threw up
losses.
In my mouth.
I'm not sure how he actually said that, but there, somebody tweeted that's what he said. I had fallen asleep.
Wait, you don't even know if he said it? Come on, then.
I was half asleep listening to that.
That's the way he sounded when he talked about it. Rick Barnes. Every time Russ dropped a caller and brought on a new one, in between would always just say, he's not going anywhere, he's not going anywhere, he's not going anywhere. It's like, yeah, we know. But at some point, he would. I mean, under some circumstance. I mean, Texas ran him for missing, one tournament and not being able to, get past the second round anymore.
He kicked all the frantic callers off last night. It was kind of sad, Those guys need to let it out. I mean, I was certainly listening, but, those dullards put me to sleep. I was judging on how long I was going to listen to VR off of, if Nate was still listening. Because I was like, you know what? Nate can stay up. So can I. But he said he fell asleep while listening to VR.
He tricked your ass.
So I was like, all right, I'm still in here. Like, hey, if Nate can do it, I can do it.
Bear,
I slept last night on the couch.
Bear wants to know what the hell.
What?
You.
Me?
Yeah, you're going after him for nothing.
Well, he just said, what excuses will Russell and Bear have? I mean, they made excuses for him all year.
He then said a word
I think I just saw something that I didn't see last night.
Oh. Did we actually win?
That part didn't change. After they go up 48-41.
Yeah.
And their guy's celebrating, I think, the three he made.
Right. Sounds accurate.
That's when Plavsic hit the guy. Right?
Plavsic is trash-talking the guy that just scored. I don't even know what he's yelling at him. He's, leaning over to yell something at him.
Oh, yeah, yes. That was, the last thing in the shot before they swung it to commercial was Euros. Here,
hang on. I got
to back
up.
That was after he nailed the guy, right?
Yeah.
And then he started talking.
It was after he nailed the guy?
Yeah, because the guy hit the three in transition, right? Wide open three.
And they blew the whistle.
I think that's when he finally took his time out.
Yeah.
Barnes.
Okay, so is this – Houston's about to watch him. So is this – this must be when Plavsic is going to hit the guy on this shot we take.
You can see him go in the middle of the lane by himself, and the other guy came down the court.
I think this ball's going to go out of bounds, and they're going to give it to them incorrectly. I think you guys are thinking about two separate times.
48-41, because then they came back and hit one of two free throws to make it 49-41.
Even on this? See, this isn't YouTube. We'll get in a second. But that's what
– Yeah, just keep me posted.
That was a really bad call where their guy kind of slung the ball out of bounds. Yeah, okay, so they come down, and there's 8:20 to go when the possession starts. They drive left. Vescovi gets beat. The ball has to get kicked out.
Travel.
Yep, they traveled again. They didn't call it. We doubled for a second. Then they just moved the ball. Gap dribble, get the middle. Corner three. This is way behind.
Is that when Forrest hit the three in the corner?
No, it was earlier.
Okay.
Possession. Maybe this is going to be the hit, though, Chris. We can see Euros shiver that guy.
Because at first he threw him down on the corner.
Russell did say he thought Euros should get thrown out for that.
I thought he said too.
So that was the one that they didn't call the thing on.
Underneath our basket?
Yeah.
Our basket.
All right, so they hit the three. Now watch this, Chris. 15's talking smack. He hit the shot. Right here. Look at him. What is he doing?
He probably just said, hey, shut up.
Then we called timeout. Finally, at 7:22, down seven.
Yep.
There was a flagrant.
We called a timeout, which then, stoppage. So that's when they went to the monitor to look at what Euros had just done. So
that flagrant would have been three possessions earlier. It's crazy.
No, it was during that.
No, there was – so the one that wasn't the flagrant that they showed over and over?
It was all part of the same plays. Underneath the basket, like Mayshak got tangled up with a guy, and then Uris.
When did he hit their guy? When we shot or when they shot?
Because remember when they came back from a commercial after we called timeout, it was 48-41. Mm-hmm. Everybody thought they called a flagrant on that.
Right, on that play. One. That's what I was saying. That it wasn't that one.
So they went down the floor.
The one before that when they shot, it wasn't that one. It must have been the one before that.
So the guy got off the floor. Paul just ran down to catch up on the play.
Offensive rebound on the miss.
Offensive rebound. They kicked it out.
Kicked to the top
the
of the key.
Microphone.
And then he hit
there you go.
Oh, okay. 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 So we did just watch that, but I missed it.
Am I hearing this and remembering this correctly? Rick Barnes didn't call a timeout until we went on a 15-2 run. And when he did call a timeout, it was the first stoppage that allowed them to review a flagrant foul on us, which ultimately resulted in FAU getting two free throws and the ball back. I mean, you can't make it up.
When you put it that way.
I mean, granted, Pavlich never came back in the game.
But
anyway,
he threw a zone at him. God, Hickman, he threw him a curveball zone. And they banged in a three. I'm not hating. I'm just mad. Okay? I'm not hating on Rick Barnes. Everyone's hating on Rick Barnes. I'm not hating on Rick Barnes. He is what he is. I'm just mad.
Yeah, Plovsic flagrants the guy and then runs down the court.
Allegedly.
I watched it. And talks trash to the guy that hit the shot.
I'm saying beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Like, that's
Plovsic is stupid. He needs to get out of here.
It looked like a box
stupid.
Out. It's a box out.
And yes, everything you just said, Adam, is correct. Although, I guess in the next dead ball, any dead
they would have looked at it anyways. But
the crappy thing is that when we were winning, we were playing clean, and then we got behind and played dirty.
And that's a really bad look.
Yeah, and now it goes into what everybody was saying going into the game.
You call a timeout sooner, you might not have Euros try and kill a guy out there.
Yeah, he should have called a timeout. He called a timeout 3 minutes too late.
It's a box out.
We'll come back with more.
Yeah.
Hour three continues. I'm at the point of the broadcast where they show us a replay of Plovsic doing nothing wrong as they're reviewing.
Well, that's what they thought the flagrant on, and everybody's like, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
I would have lost my marbles if that's what it was.
I love how Sterator was trying not to throw the refs under the bus, but he's like, honestly, guys, I don't really see how they. But he was trying not to like be like, if that's the call, that's horrible, you know? Which it would have been if that was.
Yeah, but then they realized the play was on the other end.
They had the wrong one.
Imagine, I would love to have seen Gene's face when they page into him. Hey, Gene, we got a flagrant we want you to look at here. All right. Okay.
That's not a flagrant. Oh, yeah. That one. Yeah, that's
well, and like when he hit Filipowski with the hip, like boxing out, like that's fine. You can't do that with your elbow. Like,
let me see.
He's up in his throat.
Oh, no, it's already passed. You saw it, didn't you? I mean, he just, bam.
Right. Doing what Euros did last night.
I was pretty mad at that point.
Yeah, he ran over there to hit him in the chest, and the ball bounces out to another guy, and they kick for three. That guy drains, and he's talking crap.
If you do that on the street, that gets you arrested.
Well,
hey, I just knocked your teammate out. I just went up seven in the Sweet 16, mother bleeper.
It's New York. It's New York, so he doesn't get arrested.
That's true.
He doesn't get charged. So
probably give him
unless he had a gun. Plaxico's still in prison.
No, he's not. He does a show on Saturdays.
Sundays. Would be, but they probably let him out. Too many people in there.
It was a nightclub. He shot himself. Isn't that punishment enough if you shoot your own?
Remember Akeem Talib where he shot himself in the butt?
In the butt. Do you
hey,
remember us
PSA,
talking about that?
Don't put your handgun in a non-holster down your sweatpants. I think both of those guys, that was their problem.
Do you remember when we read
it was like
Akeem Talib suffers gunshot wound. It was like enters the top of the butt cheek, exits the bottom of the butt cheek. And I'm like, he shot himself. And then, like, 3 days later, it's like, apparently Aqib Talib shot himself. And it's like, yeah, it went in the top of the butt cheek and not the bottom of the butt cheek. He shot his butt meat. Is that a weird word to say?
Butt meat? Shot yourself in the butt cheek?
Cheek meat.
Oh, cheek meat.
I said butt meat. Butt meat sounds bad. Cheek meat.
Cheek meat.
Shot his, he shot his
butt meat. That's that's pork, man. That's barbecue.
There's this guy.
Oh, I could go for a pulled pork sandwich.
There's this guy over in
Don't
Kodak.
Do that to me.
We had a guy.
You could have the pork.
I hit the 160 yesterday. Pretty proud of myself.
We had a guy shoot himself in the leg that I knew in Kodak on purpose during a game of Truth or Dare.
I've heard
with a 22.
But I've heard of people shooting themselves for other, you know, for various reasons, trying to set something up or whatever. And they always like seem to miss and they like crack their femur.
Yeah, that's exactly what this guy did.
An artery and almost
really?
Died.
Yeah, yeah. He cracked his femur.
Mm-hmm.
God, that would hurt.
It's pretty windy out on this lake they're on.
This lake they're on? That's you mean funny. Our lake?
They're on
Fort Loudoun.
Fort Loudoun.
Sorry.
Yeah, you see the trees moving right there. It's the same wind.
Well, this wind guy.
Man, it's windy out there in Knoxville, isn't it? I'm just kidding. No, the wind's supposed to blow pretty hard today. Whoa. That guy just catch a... Did Gussie just catch a spot?
What's that?
Spotted bass? No, it's a smallmouth.
Hmm.
You don't know what a spotted bass is?
I don't care about fish, Chris. I eat them. That's about it.
You said yesterday.
I really would like to see the Bassmaster Classic. So if you had that on.
I don't
on,
care about fish. I'd really like to see the classic.
Nah, like, I mean, hell, after what I sat through last night, it'd probably be a nice change of pace.
I'm going to go home, throw it up on the old cast big screen, and just watch until 2 o'clock. Then I'm heading to the expo.
What do you think about those the rumored catfish that are.
The size of Volkswagen?
Yeah, what do you think about that? You think that's possible?
No. Not in
dude. A dude's just like, man, I guess I'm wide open.
Nate,
nobody,
damn it.
Nobody else is here.
It's
I'm just
over.
Gonna make this
Nate,
shot.
We're talking catfish over here. If you could please
flag.
Hold your thoughts Sorry. To yourself. No, they're not that big. There are big catfish in that lake. But if you want a catfish the size of a Volkswagen, you'd probably have to go to the Amazon.
Great
I forget what those catfish
there.
Are called.
God
they're huge. They're like brown and have a stripe.
So they do exist?
Not here.
Oh, okay.
I've caught some big catfish.
What's like the biggest one you caught here?
40, 50 pounds.
Jeez, that is big. I didn't think you were going to say that.
I was bass fishing, and I was like, oh, I got one. Oh, Lord.
No, you could tell. This is either a tire or a 45-pound catfish.
And then, it starts to, like, take off, you know, the other way, and yeah, I'm like, oh,
not a tire.
I'm like, it's a fish, and then catfish always roll. They, like, spin.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, it's a big catfish. But I wanted my bait back, so I had to, like, let him have some drag and then reel him in.
You ever caught a shark?
Like damn deep sea fishing out there.
I hooked a shark and then his teeth cut my line after like 20 minutes of a good fight.
Did you see they caught a great white off just like right at the shoreline?
Florida?
No, it was in Orange Beach, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, there's.
I thought that was pretty rare.
So under the Golden Gate Bridge, there's actually a pretty decent. I wouldn't say population, but there's a high frequency of great whites.
Right well, I mean,
at that part,
yeah. It's easy pickings there.
What?
It's easy pickings for food there.
The Golden Gate Bridge?
Get all the jumpers.
Oh. Okay. Great whites typically like cold water, and the Pacific is a lot colder than the Atlantic and the Gulf. You ever been to California? And swam in the ocean?
No, and
I went.
Dear God, I hope I never go.
Dude, I went in July to San Diego, and we went to the beach, and the water is, it's beautiful. Bigger waves than the Atlantic or the Gulf. It was amazing. That water is freezing. I mean, freezing. Even in the middle of the summer. But it's awesome because it's so hot outside. Just FYI. I was out there boogie boarding, and I came over a wave, and I came down, and I saw these two fins in front of me. I literally about...
Right here. You want to see it?
We're talking sharks, bud.
Right here.
Boom!
Is that the Euros?
Yeah. I flopped.
You know what the best scene in Jaws is? Like underrated?
What's that?
When they think they got the shark hooked up, and so he gets up in the fisherman chairs, he throws the shoulder straps over, he hooks his rod in, he sits it in that anchor, and very intense. You don't think that's a good scene?
No, I love that scene.
You see where the girls' tournament does what you were talking about? How they stagger their games? Like, there's only one game on at 2:30 this afternoon.
See, that's what I'm saying.
5 o'clock.
Let every game stand alone. That's why we lost last night.
10 o'clock.
Oh.
That's because it's run by ESPN and not the NCAA.
NCAA. Mm-hmm. Worthless.
I think it's still run by ESPN, isn't it? I mean, I know there's games on ABC, too, I think.
The line is even for the girls.
I think we played our first game
really?
On ABC.
Yep, it's a pick 'em.
Against
number one seed, Virginia Tech.
And it's a pick 'em?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. Come on, Kelly.
They haven't really played anybody. Compared to
Come on,
game.
Kelly.
Barnes or Kelly.
It's funny because the people in this fan base that are really hard on Kelly don't really care what Rick Barnes ever does. So if Kelly breaks through, goes to the Elite Eight, it'll just kind of be funny to watch them just play the mental gymnastics about how they should feel about it.
Tomorrow they might go to the Final Four.
Matt Robertson leads your Bassmaster Classic.
All right.
Two fish for 8 pounds, 4 ounces.
Is that hometown Matt Robertson?
Just guess.
I don't. I think he's from Kentucky.
Oh.
Oh, golly. He's probably cheating.
Yep, Kentucky.
Mouth breather.
Probably a big Cats fan.
Think Tony V can lessen the blow of what happened last night?
Hell no.
No.
Well, are we playing this weekend?
A&M.
Yeah. Tomorrow's on ESPN.
We got sweep.
He's from Cuttawa, Kentucky.
Still suck.
He has a child named Cade. That's his only family.
That's kind of sad.
No, he's my age. He's a big, let's just say he's very country, way he talks.
Mm.
He said he poops on the boat a lot.
Really?
Like just hangs over the side and poops into the water.
Gosh.
He said, I don't care if there's a cameraman or people around. He's like, I just get on my phone and poop over the side of the boat.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You lock your feet under the seat, hang over the side, and, you know.
Well, they say the best way to poop is to have your knees slightly elevated up. It's like, I know, like
the squatty potty.
Yeah, squatty potty. So,
dude's a millionaire.
There's something about the way.
Can you imagine? Here's a stool that you put your feet on.
I mean, there's something about the way things expand at that angle.
Right.
So, makes sense.
What things? What do you mean?
The pelvis.
Pelvis?
Pelvis. Mm-hmm.
Your pelvic bones.
Butt.
And then everything
your
that's
butt.
Connected to it. Go to break. Jeez.
Yeah, please.
Now I'll give Dusty May a little more credit. He isolated John L. Davis two possessions in a row. He got the line once. He actually turned it over the second time.
Kid's pretty good.
Yeah. When he shut Kama down defense to start the game. And late. A lot of people just say Kama didn't show up, but part of that was FAU's plan.
Whatever. Blew it.
They're just quicker than us. I mean, there's actually a play where their guy blows by Mayshak all the way to the basket and scores. And there's another play where dude hits a super tough shot over Josiah going to his right. It hit the high off the glass, caught a smidge of the rim even as it went through. Just a great finish. But Josiah did cut 5 with under 4. But then we talked about kind of the key dagger play, that long rebound. Davis gets it, kicks it ahead. That guy was running for the corner, but he didn't care. He just led him towards the basket, and the guy's like, oh, I guess I'll go make this a layup.
Yep.
I think it was Forrest again, wasn't it? Crazy.
We look to pass on offense. Other teams look to score. It's pretty fascinating.
Well, we made fun of Dusty May's philosophy, but it's kind of right.
I don't think we did.
Drive space.
Will you guys watch any of it now still?
Yeah.
Yeah, I will. I mean,
I'm not going to watch Bama today.
It feels different losing in the Sweet 16
go to hell.
Than just losing in the first, second round.
I really wanted another week. I would have loved to have won last night, then win tomorrow, and then it's like another week of the season, and now it's just gone.
Yeah.
Like that.
Although the games today just kind of.
Football,
I guess. Yeah.
You don't like games today?
I think they're a little less appealing.
We got 3 minutes to break them down.
First one.
Whoa, Jeff Gustafson has taken the lead four fish now for 14 pounds.
I don't care about Miami at all. Like, I don't know
Miami,
why.
Houston?
I have never cared about an ACC opponent. Ever. Like,
Xavier,
just,
Texas?
Wow.
I'm excited to see San Diego State and Alabama.
Yeah, I am too.
I mean, I'll ask.
You're going to watch that game?
Yeah. The game I'm most excited for is probably the game you guys are least excited for, and that is Princeton-Creighton.
I'll be watching that one. Yeah, you're right, though. The games tonight are not as good. Final four games will be good. Kansas State-FAU, excited about that one. Gonzaga and UConn should be maybe the best game of the weekend.
Wow.
Or at least two of the teams are playing really well.
Oh, you missed it.
Sorry, buddy. Sorry.
I was going to show you what Blastoff looked like.
Here's
this
the schedule
morning.
For tonight, 6:30. San Diego
yeah,
State,
in at, weigh in at 3:30 today.
Yeah, Miami, Houston, 7:15. 9 o'clock, Princeton, Creighton. The late one, 9:45, Xavier, Texas.
It's the classic, Nate.
I have a curling tournament, so I'm good, man. I want to think
we
about
know.
Basketball.
You don't care.
You
we get
favorite.
It.
What is that? No, no. This
what
is,
the,
what,
oh, is
this
what are they
this,
showing?
This is what they call an open format.
Yeah.
So there's – there'll be –
it's here in Knoxville?
No, it's out of town. There's oh, okay. There's going to be some – I'm sure there'll be some really good teams coming in.
Nice.
They just showed the Watts Bar Dam. Come on, guys. What's, they're not fishing
not,
Watts Bar.
That's not the right place. Even I know that. Sad.
God. They showed Chickamauga. They're not fishing that. Oh, Gussie got another one. That looks short.
You guys see the fight in that Memphis Bowling Green State University game last night?
No.
There's a team from Washington State coming to this one.
Jeez. It's a big one.
And from Michigan.
The
Kansas,
Cougars?
Illinois. New Jersey, Maryland.
You're talking about your personal Bonspiel, and I'm telling you about the Bassmaster Classic, and
yeah,
I'm getting interrupted?
Big tourney.
Really, what's first place win?
What
is it $250,000? Because that's what the Classic is.
What is. I don't even know what state that is.
It's Tennessee. They're fishing downtown.
I have to look at a map.
Oh, Gussie's got another one. Ooh, that's got a good rod bend. Could be a keeper.
Mm.
Oh, let's see.
Love a good rod bend. If it bends too far, though, you might have a problem.
See what you're doing to this guy.
And you're laughing at it because you're disgusting. You both are. I'm talking about the rod bend, and you guys are Shame on you both.
Massachusetts, Kentucky, Indiana, Ohio, Mississippi, Georgia.
This guy's from Canada. You got any Canadians in there?
Not for this one, but when we have the Rocky Top Bonspiel here in Knoxville, if he wants to come out and watch, we'll have the Canadians usually at that one.
Where's it at?
Isolay.
I don't know. Come watch Hickman fall on his ass again.
Last time me and Chris were in there together, I kicked his tail.
A couple of the people that
you
came.
You fell down.
That doesn't mean anything.
You busted your tailbone.
We've had a bronze medalist play here before. It's pretty good. Pretty fun.
Pretty cool, you know what?
Chris, yep. Chris have Burt a great fishing weekend. Oh yeah, we didn't beat the curse of the announcer. Remember that was the same guy we had in the Purdue game.
Hate that guy,
Brian, Mr. Anderson.
I had a dream about the Matrix last night.
You did?
Yeah, I don't remember it, but now that you said that, I know okay. I dreamt about it.
Maybe you actually were in it.
Try to have a great weekend. Try to have a great weekend.
Won't do it.